Welcome to Live the Fuel.
Welcome to Live
Welcome
the Fuel.
To Live the Fuel. Focusing on health, business, and lifestyle. And now your host, Scott Mulvaney.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. And we decided to one-up it and go with two co-hosts. So today we have a young couple, I should say, that have decided to open their own fitness, I want to call it empire, but I would say fitness business. And a young lady and a young man that I have grown to know over the past year or two professionally and personally. They're located right here in the Lehigh Valley of Pennsylvania. Their facility is known as Liven Up Health and Fitness. And we've gotten to know each other through charity work, through just networking in general professionally. We have Chris Carullo, and we have his now wife in the past. How long now? How many months now?
1 year.
1 year? Has it been 1 year?
Yeah, okay. August.
And his wife, Whitney. So Whitney and Chris, welcome to the show.
Hello, hey. Hello.
All right. Thank you, Scott. All right. Good to be here.
So this is their first podcast, so just don't judge them when you listen to this episode.
Or do, because we're that good.
So I thought it'd be cool just to kind of dig more into like how we all got connected. So obviously I got connected with Whitney first, then Chris, just through that association. But I don't know, let's think back. Whitney, yeah. How did we get connected?
I think Starbucks. I feel like I always find you at Starbucks.
It was my side office.
Yeah. You live in that place, so.
Well, I like to rotate now. Now that I live in Allentown, I try and visit the one on Tillman near Wegmans as well. So I do have multiple satellite offices.
I gotcha. There's a lot of them.
Yes. So, but yeah, we all got connected, I believe. It was trying to organize some charity type work.
Yeah. So I think I found out that you were starting the Lehigh Valley Fitness
Network.
Yeah. Yes. And I think that really, you know, spawned my interest because I always wanted to bring, you know, personal trainers together, everyone in the industry together, you know, to share ideas and kind of almost bring it up a notch. You know, as personal trainers, fitness and health, you know, we're always looking at it as it's not always the most prominent, industry or profession, would you say?
I agree with that.
I can see why, cause there's a very vast, you know, spectrum of knowledge and degrees and certifications, but yeah, I just thought it was really cool. And I think we saw each other at like a networking event, maybe through Lehigh Valley Style or...
Yeah, you know, we definitely have been around the block when it comes to networking. So we've definitely gone to a couple style events.
Beer
I know that for
too.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I know. I believe it was wine.
Wine.
I believe
yeah,
it was
yeah,
wine. Yes.
Yeah.
So some people say that wine is a little healthier than beer.
Antioxidants.
There's definitely different schools of thought on that. Yep. I don't know where Chris comes in on that one.
Gluten free.
Yeah, there you go. Actually, good question. Are you more beer or wine, Chris?
It's a hit or miss.
It's a hit or miss?
I would say it's a week more of a wine thing.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Try to keep it light.
Don't lie. He likes the Jameson.
Well, technically, my bloodline is Irish, so I've had a few Jamesons over the years.
There you go.
Again, everything in moderation, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, charity, the network, just kind of combining forces on all those things.
And it's funny because the Lehigh Valley Fitness Network, that project... people ask me all the time, like, well, what's going on with that? And I said, you know, I'm letting that grow organically because I really wanted to launch that because I was, you know, gung-ho trying to bring together people professionally in our sector of health and fitness. And there's just a lot of people that aren't that forward-thinking yet.
Not yet.
I don't know how you guys would actually agree with
you
that.
Massage them.
Yeah, you got to massage there's different business mindsets. So now you guys are very young, hip, I think one of the more successful fitness facilities in the Valley. I mean, do you guys actually have stats on that? Like how you guys rank against other gyms or is there data on that?
Well, we know industry standards. Chris, you want to talk a little bit about like retention of members, you know, per se and all that good stuff?
Yeah, I mean, with our model, you know, we pretty much take all the science of all the different types of exercise out there and really focus on the retention, you know, finding out what works for the members, what keeps them in our system. The support system is the biggest thing that we offer. You know, it's just like these CrossFits out there. What's most successful is that people find somewhere they belong, you know, where they can be a part of it. Living a healthy lifestyle and that support system, they can go day after day and supporting their way of life. You know?
Yeah, I think that's something that you guys excel at because when people ask me about your facility, and everybody knows I'm a huge CrossFitter because I coach, but I think you're the closest thing to that world, because I think that's one thing that's accessible about CrossFit. People don't understand it. And it's not just about the programming and what your workout is that day, but who are your coaches? Who are the people helping you day in and day out? What is the community aspect, which I think CrossFit does a great job with the right facilities, and they're not all perfect. But that's something that I think you guys excel at. When I walk into your facility, you guys have the rig, and you have similar, I guess you want to say, equipment layouts tools. To that open. Yeah, similar tools. Yeah. But I think to you guys, and really one of your slogans, "Liven up, y'all."
Yeah,
is how did I roll with that? Did that one roll off the tongue? Okay,
that was good.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm sure there's probably people
"Liven
who do
up,
it
y'all."
There it is. So that's one of your taglines.
Yeah.
So there's a community piece to you guys. Like, you guys are not the cheapest health facility, you know, in this greater Lehigh Valley area, but there's a reason for that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You guys offer more.
Well, and you know, cheap is cheap. You're not going to get a great service. You can't have a great service and a low dollar membership. It just doesn't work that way.
That frustrates me when I'm always talking to people about health and wellness, like you guys, and I tell people, like, what are you investing in your nutrition every single day, or your health every single day? And they're like, well, you know, I'm just trying to save money. And I said, okay, well, we're all trying to save money.
Save money on what? Your health? I
right.
mean, that's all you got. You know,
thank you. It's like, okay, wait a minute. You're going to go cheap on your health, which is what you need the rest of your life.
Yeah.
How are we going to work that? I don't know about that. So,
yeah.
I mean, do you guys find that as a struggle when you're working with your members, when you're trying to kind of get through to them that, hey, you can come in here and sweat it out every single day, but if your home life and your nutritional life is sucking, what are you going to do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to have it all. I mean, you can't just go and fix one thing and then have Band-Aids on everything else. It is a lifestyle. You always talk about living the lifestyle, fueling the lifestyle. I mean, you can't just, people expect, all right, I'm going to come to the gym 3 times a week and I am going to be the most fit person in the world. Well, if you're not managing your stress, you're not drinking your water, you're not having healthy relationships and enjoying what you're doing every day, and eating well, it's not going to work. It has to come full circle. And, That's what we foster in our environment. So I think initially when people come to our gym, if they weren't referred to us by someone in our community, they really don't know what the investment is quite yet, because LA Fitness, you're spending, what, $40 a month, you know, Planet Fitness, $10. I mean, you can join these gyms for $1, but what do you get? You get $1 worth of your investment. I mean, you get a machine that you can get on. I love always telling people this, you know, when they come through my gym and they're like, where are all the machines? Well, they don't know that machines were designed to burn the least amount of calories. You know, that's what they were designed for, bodybuilders. So if you are Susie Q and you're 55, you just want to feel good, you know, balance out your hormones and lose some fat, why would you be using a machine that's designed to burn the least amount of calories, in turn burn no body fat? You know, it's just crazy, because we've been uneducated. You know, there's not good information out there. So we do a lot of education at our facility, giving people what they need, not only to be successful within our facility, but when they leave our facility as well. So,
well, that's interesting. When people always were like, well, if I move on to a different facility, or what if my job has me relocate somewhere else? I think that's important too, is most fitness or health domained businesses, I'll just leave it generalized like that, they're not, I guess, really focusing on that long-term impact to a customer. Because, I mean, I don't know about you guys for sure, but there's probably been people who have moved away for a job opportunity and maybe they eventually move back. Or when people go away to college and maybe they're already connected with you guys and then they come back. So there's always that chance you'll have a return customer or return patient or whatever you want to call them. And, you know, did you give a lasting impact on their health? Did you give them the tools they need to take wherever they go? Or were they just another number in the roster, so to speak?
Yeah.
That's
building your brand too, because, you know, like we have people that come from all over the country or relocate all over the country. And it's funny because, you know, we've had people relocate from Atlanta, and we have people down in Atlanta that were at our facility or are friends with us. And they actually said, hey, when you go to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, make sure you check out Liven Up Health and Fitness. And it's just building that brand, having that recognition, and leaving, you know, a lasting impact in people's lives. And I think that's what really builds lasting companies, you know, just caring about the person and not just the dollars that are coming in. So
I agree with that. Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into it.
Well, and Chris, you guys kind of flip-flop on responsibilities with handling your members, handling the facility. So, and I've always like, what is your niche, I guess, on the other side of the coin? Because you're both running this business, you're both growing this brand, but when it comes to your members and their health and their fitness, like, how do you impact separately from Whitney, or is there a lot of it shared?
Yeah, I mean, as my job, being a director, my key role is to get members started and make sure that we're keeping up with the retention, meaning that we're meeting with members every couple of weeks, keeping them on track. I mean, the biggest thing is what we're trying to change is not only exercise habits, but lifestyle. You know, we want this to be a part of their lifestyle. Do that. We know that throughout any given year, there's tough times, you know, in during their life where it might pull them away from the facility. You know, my job is to make sure we give them that call, you know, sit down with them, re-strategize, do what we need to do to keep them going through the tough times.
Okay.
And that's where we see members most successful, the members that come in 12 times a month, you know, and once they fall below that, you know, we know, hey, they need a courtesy call to keep them going.
Oh, really? You guys take it to that level?
Absolutely.
So you're not, like, you guys aren't stalking them. I mean, you're more like...
Maybe.
Well, I was going to say, wait
you
a minute.
You could ask
what's
them
going
that.
On here?
We like to keep in touch.
I was going to say, sure. I might have to interview one or two members. Like, okay, is Chris and Whitney like stalking you? Do you get late night texts going on? What's happening?
Where are you?
Yes. I did not see your sweat on the mat today. Where have you been? So you're not just launching them. You're part of that director side is also guiding them along the path as well.
Absolutely. You know, our goal is... and in this industry, it's unheard of, but our goal is 80% retention, you know, meaning that, you know, 80 plus members that started our facility after a year are ready to commit and continue for another year. And that's where we see the most success. So that's how we really gauge our business and see how well our services are and see how well we're doing day to day.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, so where did you guys learn the 80% thing? Was that, because honestly, you guys are unique. There's not a lot of gym owners who have taken the commitment to education. Sometimes, and no offense to them, there's a lot of fitness professionals who just love coaching and teaching fitness, and they become gym owners. Mm-hmm. They might not necessarily have the extensive educational background, and I know that's something that you two both have taken to heart very seriously.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, how does that... Is this something that they teach you in school, the whole 80% thing?
Or? No.
No.
Mentors, you know, I've been a firm believer that, you know, people have paved the way for you. They have learned, you know, good practices and you don't need to reinvent the wheel. So Chris and I, you know, right when we got into business, we just tried to get as many resources pulled as possible. And, we surrounded ourselves with, some of the most successful people in the fitness industry. And I, you know, I've had the ability to kind of step out of our business and actually do some more mentoring and now work for some of my mentors, on the consulting side of the fitness industry, which is really cool. But, you know, we looked for the most successful guys and gals in the game and said, hey, you know, those are who we're going to look up to. Those are the guys that we're going to get good information from and not only, you know, pave our way in our own individual way. Because I think now, you know, 4 years in, some of those people actually come to us to see what we're doing. And, you know, we have mastermind groups with other successful gym owners all around the country. And we just share ideas. I mean, you look at statistics, I love numbers. You know, the average, I think the percentage of people that actually have a gym membership in the U.S. is like around 14%, you know?
And how many of them are actually using it?
What was that? 4% or something? It's like
three
to...
I pay for a membership every month.
3 to 4%.
Yeah, but do you use it?
Some disappointing numbers there.
I think
sure.
It's like 3 to 4% of our population actually goes to the gym on a regular basis. So,
that's sad.
You know, we're doing a terrible job as, you know, fitness professionals getting people to feel comfortable coming into a facility and staying. I mean, how are we changing that? I want to have that conversation with other entrepreneurs and other people that are trying to do that as well and say, how can we get better at this? And that's what we've always done. And we didn't just do it all on our own. I mean, I didn't Google it and figure it out.
No, and what you're talking about, it's funny because a lot of these gym owners and fitness owners, they feel that it's something unique, but client retention, if you want to go super, super high level, I mean, years ago, I was an analyst for T-Mobile, a successful cell phone company, right? One of the things I learned there, because I was young and I didn't know I had to work my way up in the company, but one of the stats that I learned was that it was cheaper for us to keep a customer. It's more expensive to acquire a new one because
without a doubt.
Right, you got to spend money on advertising, marketing. Hopefully, if you have a great reputation, the word of mouth is going to definitely work to your advantage. But, and I'm sure you guys have stats on that too, probably proving, okay, how many members have you acquired just through the power of word of mouth?
Yeah.
And I'm guessing you probably have a strong
high percentage. Yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah. I mean, most of our new members are coming on as referrals. And I can tell you that, you know, we're thankful for that because without that, we would not be where we are today. Every time we finish a session in our facility, our coaches yell out, without you guys, Liven Up would not be possible. So thank you for coming in today and thank you for coming in always. We love you guys. So
And I'm just going to have fun with this one for a second, but are they doing this because they feel they have to, or do you really feel like, you know what? No, they're just actually loving that much. Like, cause you know, like some people are like, oh, it's my job. This is the business. We have to say this. I'm just going to call you guys out. Are you guys making your coaches do that? Or is it something that you actually like, you know what, guys, we'd like to hear you do this, but only do it if you believe it. I don't know what's happening there behind the scenes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say 100%, all of our coaches, all of our staff live the lifestyle.
You okay.
know, we eat, we exercise, we eat healthy. You know, we just enjoy the energy and the overall power of what we do, you know, and passing that on to members is really what makes what we do rewarding.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're one coach. I ran into you, got your bunch of your coaches were having an offsite training or
Starbucks.
Whatever discussion at Starbucks. Yeah, yeah. All right. Whatever. So yeah, I was there at my satellite
in
office.
Your office.
But they were there and the one gentleman, older coach,
Jim,
super fit dude, glasses.
Yeah.
I saw on Instagram, whatever,
he's
one of your girls like grabbing his bicep, like jumping off the ground. Like that was fun. That was cool. So they clearly have fun working together.
Well,
so.
And he was actually, cool story. He was in the IT industry for like forever.
Really?
And, you know, it's hard. You work in an office, you do the same thing over and over again. There's hundreds of employees. You know, sometimes companies don't really care who you are. You're just a number. And he was actually one of our first members at Liven Up. And
really?
Chris called him like 8 times to get him through the door and totally transformed his life within like 12 months and just fell in love with it. So we did a mentorship with him. And before he left the company that he was at to come work with us full time, he would come in at 6 a.m., teach a session, go to work all day, come back at 6 p.m. and teach a session because he was just so into it. He just fell in love with it. And another statistic, so I'm just going to give you guys all these numbers.
We're crushing numbers today, people.
Crushing numbers. The average tenure of a personal trainer in the industry, I would say, is about 12 to 14 months. You know, they come in and they leave within a year.
Now, why do you think that is? Is that because they're just trying to soak up knowledge and move on and keep looking for the grass is greener? Or you think it's boredom?
Well, you know what? I think it's in part fitness business owners because they don't care about their employees. You know, traditionally you were a contractor. You made your own book. You did your own sales. It was dog eat dog. You couldn't be friends with any of the other personal trainers or coaches on staff because, you know, you were competing for clients. Yeah. I mean, Chris knows all about that.
It turns to be a very competitive workplace. What happens in also in this industry, and most people know that it's a very sales driven industry right now.
Oh God. Yeah. Because the turnover is so bad.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we're really trying to change out. You know, we're here to help people when they need help. I mean, they do pay for a service. But a lot of new members and potential clients come in with a chip on their shoulder because of the bad experience that they've had in the past, you know.
And that's the frustrating thing for me too, is that because I've worked for other gyms before over the years too. And I was never a full-time personal trainer, but I ran a spinning program for like 6 years. But I didn't have to struggle through what you were just saying, Whitney, which was that whole running the book of business. I mean, I taught at 6 a.m. Same thing as your trainer. I would teach at 6 a.m., shower, and then go to my corporate job. So, like, because that was my life balance. That's how I've always had some piece of that in my life. But to your point, Chris, it's like, you know, is that working for everybody? What are you doing to build loyalty?
Yeah, and just having a career, you know, you need paid time off, you need salary, you need stability. You know, we have a benefits package for our coaches, which you could probably not walk into any gym in the Lehigh Valley and get one.
I've never heard of that.
In if you have one, because we'd love to just commend you for what you're doing. But you know, traditionally it's been either people that want money and they think that the industry is a quick way to get money, which is totally wrong because we have the worst business rating.
Oh, God, yeah.
Try to open a gym and get money from a bank. No. Forget about it.
No, it's the same thing in the CrossFit world or yep. any other fitness side. I mean, it's most of these people start building this off of their income from their primary job. It's
yeah.
like, I'm going to open a gym, but I still got to work my 9 to 5 to pay for it.
Yeah.
So because the overhead is so high and they don't know how to, most gym owners do not know how to run a business. I mean, yeah. let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Chris and I were in the industry throughout our college experience and even before then, we always knew we wanted to be personal trainers. We always had that drive. When we met 8 years ago in college at Westchester University, go Rams, we just knew that was our dream. Like the first night we went, we were like, we liked snowboarding. We're like, oh, that's awesome. You know, we love lifting weights. We just so happened to be in all the classes. And I think we finished out the night with just saying, yeah, one day I'm going to open my own fitness business. And Chris was like, yeah, me too. And then 8 years later, we're sitting here. With our own fitness business that we opened together. But,
yeah. But you guys had some common ground there.
We did.
That's a powerful piece
yeah.
of that.
And so. we knew the struggles of it. We never wanted to give up on the industry. We wanted to change it. So when we opened our own business, it was just him and I all day, every day, you know, grinding and bringing people in and trying to retain them and service them. But you know, along the way we've gotten a magical set. I always call them the dream team, you know. Scott, you made a comment the other day, like we have one of the most difficult hiring processes.
Yeah, you and do. I heard of some of the background behind that. I'm like, dude, I'm so glad I'm not a trainer coming out of school right now, because I would want to work for you, but wow, that yeah. program is intense. But I get it, you guys are taking it seriously.
Yeah, we are. And it's funny because we always finish out the interview process with an invitation to a bar or Starbucks to have a drink with them and just say, is this someone that we'd want to share our days with? Because, you know, I don't think employers do that in any industry. You know, let's a culture.
A lot of industries and a lot of companies feel that we're breaking HR policy. Oh. But it's like, but you have a valid point, though, in this type of industry. You are correct. These are people that are going to be putting in long hours with you. They're with your members. Or in your case, you guys have tons of events. You do Spartan races together and everything else. I'm a big fan of that. But you need people that are going to be cohesive and they're going to blend well with all different types of personalities. So that's interesting that you guys take it to that level of, I guess you want to say personal, professional, lifestyle balance. I mean, you are adding a little personal touch in there.
We do. I mean, we hang out outside of the gym all the time. My coaches and people in our fitness business are some of our closest friends. I mean, we really truly care about them and their families and what they have going on outside of our gym as well, because, you know, our life wouldn't be possible without them. So going back to that question, you know, do I think my coaches really believe in the fact when they say, you know, Liven Up wouldn't be possible without you? They mean that. I mean, when they say it, it's like it gives me chills, because I remember just being in that position and I don't always coach anymore. You know, some of my coaches know our members a little bit better than I do at this point in time. And, I feel it, you know, it's genuine. They love being there and they tell us all the time, like it's just a pleasure to come in and help people really change their lives. I mean, it is a very rewarding career.
Do you find that's been a struggle for both of you? Like, and Chris, you can probably jump in on that, because I noticed you there behind the counter training the new girl the other day when I stopped in. So, do you find it's now that it's awkward? Because being an entrepreneur, one of the biggest growth lessons that business owners have to learn is that you eventually have to build the systems, the teams, the architecture to allow you to be freed from working in the business every single day and then eventually grow up working on the business. And guys, you can't see me. I'm doing like hand motions here. But the point is, it's like I talk with my hands and I'm not even Italian. But the point is, like, is that been a struggle for you guys? Because you do have to kind of let go and start working at that higher level.
Well, I mean, and it, just like you said, it does come down to creating a system. Everything we do, we set up that it can be done automatically moving forward. It's something that we've been creating for the last 4 years and something that we talked a little bit a little while ago is not recreating the wheel, you know. And a lot of these things that we've learned, we put these systems in pretty quickly, you know, with help from our mentors, to really get these things moving forward in the right direction. And that's why now that we have two solid managers in place to make sure that these are being fulfilled and everything's being done correctly.
Yeah, that's a big move because you didn't always have managers. I mean, how long have you had managers? I did air quotes there for you people.
Yeah. I'm over a year now. I mean, our training manager, Andy, she's an absolute rock star. You know, she takes care of the coaches and just the business in general. I mean, she walks around that place and makes sure that there's no dust on the floor, which
so she treats it like it's her house. That's
yeah,
good.
Absolutely. You know, so she trains our interns and mentors people and makes sure that, you know, everyone's enjoying themselves and we have, you know, top-notch technique and coaching going on the floor. So that's great. And then Trish, our office manager, I mean, she does all the, you know, back office stuff and she's been training a new full-time, you know, customer service representative that I'm excited about her. She's great. But you know, they're doing all the hiring. You know, sometimes people will reach out on Facebook and be like, "Hey, Whitney, did you get my resume?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't always get those, yeah. You know, I don't always get to see those."
So you're no longer completely involved with all the hiring?
No.
Wow.
No, I usually come in on the back end and get, you know, have the glass of wine with them and see if they, you know.
But I think that would be cool. Like, I wouldn't want to see you guys completely step away from that. I think having that personal touch as an owner is going to be important, as long as you're not out traveling and doing your consulting and stuff with some of your mentors, which is starting to pull you away as well. But
I don't think I ever want to step away from that. I mean, if I'm not in the gym for a period of time, I kind of get sad, you know, I could never, I don't think I could be a stay at home wife, you know, just go crazy.
No, I mean, it's even Noah in the last episode, he was saying the same thing. He's like, "I hate traveling because it's hard to try and balance your health and your fitness because you're not in your gym." And it's even harder for you guys because you own a gym and you live in the gym, so to speak. So, I mean, heck, this new house you live in now, you're what, 5 minutes from the gym?
Yeah. I think it's 2 to 3.
I'm telling you guys need to start like running or biking from here. I mean, today it's pouring down rain, so that would kind of suck. But
well, we do. Yeah. Right. We're working on it.
That's awesome.
It's going to get cold. We might need to get like a bobsled
ski.
Something. Yeah.
Cross country ski. There you go.
We're snowboarders though, so I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if I could be seen with those on.
It's all right. I won't judge. I'm a two planker.
Snowshoes.
So. Yeah, snowshoeing is actually great, but we need to actually get enough
snow
to justify that.
I know.
So last year we lucked out with the blizzard.
I know. On my birthday.
Oh really? That was
I wished
birthday
for
week?
That. I said we were getting 32 inches, and my backyard report by the end of the day was 32 inches. It was the craziest thing ever.
Well, thank you.
Mother
I
Nature and
that.
I were on the same page.
Yeah, because I mean, we agree that life balance is important on the mountain. So whether
Without
you're
a
skier or a snowboarder, so you guys both snowboard. That's how you guys also. You said earlier that's one of the ways you guys met and got to know each other.
Yeah.
So now I never asked you this. Who's the better snowboarder?
Whoa.
Is there equality there? Or?
No, I'll hand that off to Chris because I don't have the same confidence he does. You know, he'll go down a cliff, and I always laugh. The first time we ever went on a major snowboarding trip together, we went out to Colorado.
Oh yeah,
and we stayed at Breckenridge with a good friend, and that was those are mountains. That's snowboarding out there.
Yeah.
So I was never out west. I was nowhere near there.
And how long
before.
Ago was this?
That was 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Mm-hmm. I remember that one. That was your first out west trip.
Yeah, you gotta
do that way more.
Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up on the south side of Bethlehem. We couldn't afford flights out to Colorado.
I grew up on a farm out here.
Yeah.
Come on, don't pull that. I'm with you. I mean,
I
now make Western trips an annual event.
We do too.
It's required.
It is.
Like, once
it
you
is.
Get a taste,
priority.
It's like,
Yeah.
So day one. First ride, you know, we're just getting on the chairlift. My legs are cold as could be, you know, didn't warm up anything.
Oh, you didn't even take her on a warm-up run?
No, nothing.
Dude.
So I'm like,
I thought you loved her.
Whatever. Chairlift after chairlift. And I'm just like, where are we going?
Oh, you were taking her to the top of Breck.
Absolutely, yeah.
You taking up to 10K?
Absolutely. The highest chairlift in North America.
They're 12. Close to 13.
Up there. Yeah. On day one?
Highest,
with no warm-up run.
The highest chair in North America. This is how much he loves me. Yeah. Okay. And we get to the last chairlift, and it's like a dinky two-seater, you know.
Oh, yeah. I've skied this mountain many times, so.
And you have, like, the hazard you could die experts only. And I'm like, do I need to qualify for this? Do I need to do a qualifying run to get on this chairlift? And it's elevation too. I wasn't used to elevation. So we get up there and it's full on blizzard conditions. I can't see anything except a wooden fence, you know? And I'm like,
that's actually pretty good if you can see the wooden fence.
Well, yeah. That's because I was practically holding on to it to figure out where I was. But I got down and it was fun. But Chris definitely, he's a little more extreme than I am. I had a pretty bad snowboarding accident and busted my lungs open. So
yeah,
you won't see me going over any jumps.
That wasn't the tooth incident, right? Or was it?
Oh, no. I broke my...
This was a different day.
Yeah, that was a different day. Yeah. You had a few adventures.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
I've luckily never knocked my teeth out yet. So you got a nice... I'm knocking my chair that I'm sitting
chair.
On here. But no, the teeth was biking.
Oh man, sports, yeah, BMX. I got a softball thrown in my face. I was chewing on a frozen cowtail and that broke it. I broke it eating bruschetta before. I mean, it's been an extreme lifestyle,
yeah,
for sure.
I mean, that's what life's all about. So
baseballs to the face to eating really hard bruschetta, you know.
It's really hard bruschetta.
Just wasn't on, correctly. I actually broke my tooth 10 days before our wedding day, and that was just a very extreme situation.
Wait, I don't know if I knew about that.
Yeah.
I had to stress you that.
I had a flipper on.
It was a scary time.
What?
A flipper where you could put it on and off. Yeah.
I don't know what that is. So it's kind of tooth?
Yeah, it's like a tooth on your tooth. So when you have veneers, they grind them down to little tiny weird stumps.
Yeah, and then they put the capper on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So I only had a clipper on her for a little while because they have to make the whole new veneer.
Oh, so this flapper thing, clipper thing, that's your temporary until they make you the new veneer.
It was terrible.
And you did not have the veneer in time for the wedding.
I did, but it was like 2 days beforehand. So we were really pushing it.
Somebody paid their dentist a bonus. Yeah. How'd that go for you? I mean, were you okay with that?
It made me a little nervous.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
I trusted.
Yeah, but you guys went with a nice laid back wedding. With this whole adrenaline junkie gym owner lifestyle, which I'm big fans of because I'm similar to this, except with the wedding stuff. But, more power to you guys.
Should that be the next podcast?
No, just slow things down here, people. But you guys had, I saw the photos. You had a really cool laid back wedding. So very, very, I think it was mostly what, family, right?
Well, no, actually there was 200 people there, but we are both Italian. So I think it was 100 on Chris's side. You know, our wedding party was 25 people. We literally put every single friend in the wedding party. It was crazy.
Okay.
There wasn't even room in the front when we got married.
That's intense.
We rented a campground, campground
activities. That's
what I'm saying. Activities.
I thought it was more laid back, I thought. So,
yeah.
Okay.
The day of our wedding, we rented the campground for 3 days, invited everyone there. We had over 100 people stay both nights.
Sweet.
In cabins,
Okay.
So you arrived at camp, you got your goodie bags, plenty of water in there because it was going to be a long, party weekend.
Italian families coming together.
Yeah,
yes.
Pretzels.
Okay.
You got your cabin assignments, and the day of the wedding, we actually had Sloppy Joe's for lunch, extra sloppy. Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's classy.
Of course. That's a camp.
Okay.
Yeah. Camp meal.
We got married in the trees and had a big bonfire. It was a really cool weekend, though.
Yeah, but the whole idea that we went with that is just to have everyone out that just could relax and hang out for a good 3 days.
Yeah.
No better stress-free place than in the middle of the woods, 200 acres around you. So
where was this at? Was this in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, right out near Reading. It was called the South Mountain YMCA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we had it exclusively. So
there was a YMCA that owns a 200-acre campground?
Yeah, yeah. It's also Camp Conrad. Camp Conrad Radweiser. Mm-hmm. But beautiful. I mean, some of our guests arrived Friday, and then we had dinner, every meal for them. We had activities the whole weekend, so you could do
I was gonna say I was gonna ask you. You got to have activities.
Yeah,
I mean,
tree top course,
trap shooting, zip lining,
what,
rock wall.
I want to go to this wedding.
Big balls that they the Zorbs.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, the ones you climb inside of?
Yeah. I think Chris almost died a few times the day of our wedding because he was doing activities and he's like, I'm getting married today. I probably should stop.
Well, you know.
Two hours before we got married, we were doing downhill mountain boarding.
Downhill mountain boarding?
Yes. You know, big wheels, your feet are strapped in, and they're just pushing down the mountain, you know, and you would think
Like the adult size version of like the big wheels we grew up on, like the little, the big wheel pedal.
It's like a skateboard.
They're skateboards.
It's like a big wheel
they're
skateboard.
Down there, it looked like a...
With a little brake on it.
A short snowboard with straps for your feet and big dirt tires. And,
oh, dude. Oh, there's four tires on all four corners.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen them. You
yes,
had them?
And,
super shady.
And you think, you know, with being it normally being a kid's camp, that they would start you on a little hill. But when we get there, it's a huge hill, you know, and there's rocks on the side. There's a big fence with tennis courts to your left. And
it sounds like a really tight run.
Yeah. So it was tight. It took much experience, which we didn't have, but we were...
So your snowboarding did not help at all.
No.
I'm pretty sure the grass was wet too, so the brakes didn't work at all.
I was about to ask, how were the brakes? So clearly not so good?
The brake, you do get a handbrake. It does slow you down, but doesn't stop you. So
okay.
You just kind of have to do the...
And do the boards roll like a skateboard? Well, you try and pitch it for turning left and right, or no?
Yeah.
Oh, did that actually work, or no?
They do. I mean, with some experience, it probably would have been a little smoother.
Okay.
But we were just pretty much going straight down the mountain.
So basically, just hold on for dear life
and
ride it out.
Yeah.
Did anybody like bail?
We had a couple spills. You know, got some good video. I had one spill, but you know that kind of came ahead that hey, I should probably stop.
I am that jackass that would do this.
Yeah, break my arm 2 hours before I get married.
I'm loving this,
but it was fun.
All the guys had their faces were fine for pictures. So
okay.
So that's
everybody
all I cared
at least
about.
Knew how to tuck and roll on the crash impact.
Yeah.
This is important. You got to teach these things.
Right.
Yeah. So
they probably had like road rash and stuff, but that we covered
as long as you can cover
up.
That up, you're good. You know, bandages.
It was a fun weekend though.
Wow. I did not know about all these activities. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. So from snowboarding, you know, our first trip to our wedding, I mean, we do it all. It's been 8 years of a lot of fun. You know, everyone always asks how we do it with, owning a business and operating it together. I mean, I couldn't imagine doing it with anyone else. We just have fun.
Well, I mean, obviously the lifestyle is important. That's what we're talking about right now, right? It's like, why are we doing all this? It's to create the lifestyle you want to have and do the things that probably most people aren't going to do. And that's okay. That's why you're those people. And that's why I'm that crazy adrenaline junkie guy too. People are like, why do you do that? I'm like, because I want to. And I don't like people telling me not to do something.
I always laugh when people ask me, like, what does Scott do? And I'm like, Scott just lives a dream, man. You know, like
I'm figuring it out along
the
way.
He gets to do what he wants to do, which we should all do. You know, he lives with passion and purpose. And what do you do, Scott?
I don't know. A few things. A thing here, a little thing there. You know, launch a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, get bored.
Yeah.
I've been a voracious podcaster for 2.5 years as far as a consumer. So why not launch your own podcast? So because now I get to actually bring voices to people that I know, like you guys, and get out what you're doing differently than everybody else. That's what I'm excited about.
Yeah.
So like, long story short, to answer your question, yeah, I'm a marketing consultant and I do sales and marketing and business development for my clients, but that's very boring.
Yeah. I thought you were a gigolo or something.
Well,
I don't know.
You know, my girlfriend would not appreciate that. I mean, I did finally man up and actually live with a girl over the past year. So actually it's a year this month.
Woo, there you go.
Never did that in my life. And I turned 39 this month. So
congrats, man. You're
growing
up.
Eventually you grow up sooner or later.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Or you just find a girl who actually is willing to put up with your craziness, which is pretty much what most of that is actually. So, but that's why I connect with you guys so well, because you guys get that. Like, it's like, dude, I want to be able to just drop everything and hop on a plane and go on a ski trip. That's why I do all these things. And that's why for me, I mean, just to kind of create a separation between us is that you guys have the cojones to open a brick and mortar business, not just a brick and mortar business, but a business that's in a high turnover industry, like a gym. That stuff freaked me out. And I'm Mr. I like to do anything, jump out of an airplane, you name it. But when it came to that stuff, and as I've grown my brand and what I like to do, I'm like, you know, I don't want a brick and mortar business. I love this online world and launching things like podcasts and stuff like that. That's exciting to me because I have location freedom. But to be fair, you guys have done the same thing. You have built a successful business. It's still growing. It's still succeeding. And you are creating location freedom when you want to as well. We're just doing things differently.
Absolutely. I mean, we flew out to Colorado, one of our favorite places. New Year's Eve, right? Chris didn't know about this trip until Christmas Day.
Nice.
I like it.
Spontaneity.
I like surprises.
This is what I'm talking about.
I like surprises. But we flew out there, and it was actually business and pleasure because we set some serious business goals. You know, we got on the phone with our longtime business mentor and said, you know, what are we going to do for 2016? And, you know, we spent a few days out there just kind of recharging, doing what we love. And also, I mean, we love working on our business, even if we're not in it. And to see, you know, to be able to step away and come back. And I think, one thing that managers do wrong and one thing that business owners do wrong is they hover, you know, they never give people in their positions the power to be creative and to be successful. You know, people have to have self-worth, especially with what they're doing on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And I think that prevents turnover as well. You know, I remember when, you know, we were passing off roles, and I mean, Chris and I worked every role of the company when we started it just so we could learn the systems, create the systems.
A lot of successful entrepreneurs recommend that.
Like, yeah.
Some of the top CEOs out there tell you, like, at least know what your frontline employee is dealing with. Like,
and they're so important. Every single one, yeah. Every single one. I mean, everyone in our company works laterally. You know, they understand each other's roles and they can actually jump into each other's roles if they need to. But it is rewarding for us, and I think it's very rewarding for them. Maybe we should do a podcast with one of them on.
There you go.
But
hey, this is just the beginning. I don't care. I mean, this is,
yeah. You know. It's endless. We could do whatever we want.
Oh yeah, I plan on having some repeat co-hosts, especially the fun ones. So
yeah, but you know, we can travel, and like I said, if we're away from the gym for a longer period of time, we kind of are like, all right, let's get back, you know. And then we start making all the phone calls, like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah,
you know, and they're like, get off the phone and enjoy yourself. We were at the beach, and I'm just like, so. Tell me something new.
Yeah. You know? And they're like, no, you need to hang up the phone right now and go enjoy your day off. So is she the only one like that, or are you the same way?
I'm a little bit better at putting it off. She's, you know, you turn your head for a couple of minutes. She's on her emails. it doesn't, you know, she just makes it sound like she can get away, but she stays pretty close to the business at all times. Oh, you know?
It's hard to let go of all that stuff. It goes back to that lifestyle balance. Like, you guys are obviously planning trips and getting away, but it's like, okay, are you truly giving yourself that mental break and creating that freedom? Mm-hmm. So I think we're all guilty of that. Sometimes it's hard for us to let go.
It is hard, you know, balancing everything, lifestyle and health. And I think Chris and I do a really good job with stress. You know, I think people are very afraid to go into business with their spouse or their loved ones. Because, you know, home is a place where it should be a safe haven. It should be somewhere where you can feel comfortable. And, early on in the business, you know, we did bring some of our stress home, and
I'm sure you guys have had to have little squabbles here and there.
So. You know, when you open the doors to a company, you have no money in the bank, you have no employees, you have you just have a dream.
A hope and a dream.
Mm-hmm. You got a 42-page business plan, but, you know, that only gets you so far.
Yeah. At least you wrote a business plan. Most people don't. So,
yeah, we did. It is a very important part of it. You just got to put it on paper, because that brings a lot of other things to fruition. And I think people don't, you know, they think it's like a homework assignment, but you're supposed to put some good stuff in there.
I've told past clients that. I'm like, you guys have never wrote a business plan? Like, I'm like, how do you know what you're going to be doing? Like, of course I know what I'm going to do. It's my business. I'm like, no, you literally need to write it down.
You do. Yeah. Even if it's short, even if you're going into a small endeavor with someone else and it's not a full on, you know, brick and mortar thing. I mean, I think it's just important to write down your goals, where you see it heading. I mean, if we looked at our initial business plan, Chris and I just wanted to open a little tiny personal training studio, and we were like the only people personal training in it, you know? And now we're, you know, 4 years later, 7,000 square feet. We got 350 members.
A bit of a shift there, you know?
Yeah, we got like seven full-time employees, you know, 10 altogether. It's crazy.
Do you ever pull back the business plan again and add the modified chapters to it, or you kind of like move beyond that into a different format?
I don't think I've written a lot since, you know.
It's important. I mean, we have everything that we do is in writing, you know?
Right.
We put our systems in writing. I wouldn't say it's an addition to our business plan, but we definitely make sure to move forward in the direction of business, you have to have it in writing.
Well, because your vision is going to constantly change too. Like, I was in there the other day, and you had this new I-beam and thing, like you opened up this whole wall, and the place has, I mean, from a feng shui perspective, I'm like, wow, there's just so much more flow in here now.
Yeah.
But that wasn't originally in your plan 2 years ago.
No, not at all. So, we hit a point where we were like, all right, we either need to expand or we need to utilize our square footage a little better. So we invested in a renovation to utilize the square footage much better than it was being utilized, because it was a little blocked off by offices, and we took a little square footage from like the locker room so we could be able to train more people and add more, you know, bodies to the community.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, and again, your long-term goal is probably one day to eventually have a different facility, maybe even bigger, I'm sure.
Yeah,
so it
know.
Just all depends on how the business grows and where you guys end up. So
I know. We're always constantly, you know, it's funny because we have this mastermind group. We meet with them every 6 months, and we're always writing down three business goals. And right now it's, I would say we're just working on the systems of our own location. You know, I think after 5 years, we can kind of sit back and look at everything that we have on, you know, pen and paper and say, do we want to do this again? Do we want to recreate this? I mean, even at this point in time, we probably could. But I think we have a lot of potential where we are right now to just keep adding additional revenue systems and refining those things, because I know a lot of business owners that saw very drastic success in early years and were like, yeah, I'm the king of everything right now. So I'm just going to open everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then it tapers off. I mean, and you got to look at, you know, an energy standpoint from, you know, bandwidth. Yeah. I like the word bandwidth because people only have so much of it.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're utilizing all our bandwidth, I don't think we'll be good to each other
anyone
else.
From the technical world, and your other coach can speak to that from being in the IT world, you only have so much bandwidth capacity. And that does not mean you use 95% of your capacity. You should be basically building out your bandwidth utilization to be like maybe at the highest end, 75-80%, because you're going to get those spikes. You're going to get those big business pushes. Those, like for you guys, I'm sure it's spring and fall is usually pretty popular spike seasons when people are like, oh, yeah, the winter's over. I got to get my butt in gear. Mm-hmm. Or right before summer, you know, all those types of different mindsets, depending on the consumer, you have to adapt to those. I'm sure you get a big push for the business. And that's like, okay, well, if you maxed out all your bandwidth, how are you supposed to handle that? And this goes to your personal life too. People trying to take on too much. I'm guilty of that. I take on a lot of side projects personally. And I'm like, okay, I got to get better at cutting that off because I only have so much bandwidth. So,
yeah.
I mean, you guys just bought a house and
renovated it all.
A gym.
Yeah.
Like, okay. All in the same year, right?
Like the same months.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Like, that's even worse. So clearly you guys probably tapped out the bandwidth there a little bit. So
yeah, I mean, it's crazy because there's always an ROI. You know, it doesn't necessarily need to be money. I mean, in business, you're always like, do we want to spend this money? What's the return on investment? But for me, feelings are the biggest thing. The biggest investment is how I feel about it. And Chris and I, you know, I probably was on Pinterest a little too much. Mm. I really like the DIY stuff.
Uh-oh. All right.
But even with
those
our
DIY
gym,
boards are crazy. There's lots of cool ideas on there.
It's crazy. I'm now recovering from it. But
okay. Have you gotten
like
counseling?
Yeah. I shut the app down. but we like to do things, you know, on our own, because at the end of the day, the investment, the return is like knowing that you did that. And, you know, when I walk into my facility, the floors, I mean, I remember there were things we shouldn't have done. We didn't need to do, you know, like we spray painted every single weight, like plates, you know, we bought equipment from a gym that was going out of business, and we're like, well, we need the new stuff, and we couldn't afford the new stuff because we were just two broke college kids trying to open a gym. So we spent an entire evening, like day and evening, probably have some brain cell loss from this, but we spray painted every single plate that was going into our gym so it would look new.
But eventually those plates are going to get chipped anyway.
Yeah.
So it's if anything, me, I like that rustic, broken in weight look.
They did come out pretty nice.
They were nice, man.
I mean, how long did that paint last?
We used Rust-Oleum, though. No, I mean, I don't think they're chipping. We're good.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But those little things,
guys, were a little high, but definitely had quality results.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But you see, that's part of that hustle, though. Like,
yeah.
People don't talk about that in business enough, or some people, like, what's his name? Gary Vaynerchuk.
Oh, my gosh.
He's Mr. King of the hustle. But I'm like, okay, there you go. That's a good example. It's like, let's be smart.
What is his bandwidth, anyway?
I don't know.
I don't like all of his advice, by the way.
I mean,
I like him, but like sometimes it's like dude, 8 hours of sleep is what I recommend. Yeah, you probably should be drinking more water.
Some of the people in my mastermind group, we discussed that. Yeah, we're like, dude, Gary, yeah, when you need that spiky juice of just off the reservation,
the hustle.
Great. Yeah. Go look at one of his feeds, Gary Vaynerchuk, whatever. Great. But the flip side of that, because we're healthy people and we understand this, and even he's also admitted this on some of his shows recently, where he's like, yeah, in the beginning, I did not balance my health, and he started paying for it stress-wise, and his fitness was non-existent. But now he admits, now that he's adding that in, he actually says that's actually adding to his, we'll say, bandwidth. It's adding to his capabilities. Yeah. So that's why I'm always reminding people, I'm like, I just spoke on this with that webinar I told you about the other night, where I'm talking to these startup people, and I'm like, listen, you're young. Like, be smart now. Like, balance your health and fitness now, because you're going to need that bandwidth. We'll use that word again. You're going to need it. You have to. If you just let your health and fitness fall to the wayside while you're building a business or you're building a relationship or whatever it may be, you're going to pay hard for that.
Well, and to all the fitness entrepreneurs out there that want to open their own gym, just so you know, or even our clients or any client, you don't just work out all day when you own a gym.
Yeah.
It actually gets more difficult to work out, because you're on 24/7. There's a switch that is on 24/7.
Oh, it's like when I coach on Friday nights, I was like, I go to the people, oh, you coach two classes today. I was like, that I coached the classes. I didn't actually.
Yeah.
Once in a while, if we're like one person short, and if it's like a partner workout, I'll jump in to help even out the teams. But I'm like, most of the time, it's all vocal and mental. There's no physical benefit to that at all.
Yeah, you're not like Richard Simmons or Billy Blanks, you know, at the front of the class.
Yeah.
Dancing.
You know, you're there helping them with their form and their technique and everything else. So it's like, yeah, I'm not getting much out of that. So yeah, you're right. I mean, then take it to the next level. You're owning a gym. You have to run the operations, payroll, personnel, hiring, all of that. Chris's case, he's doing the ramp up of new members and then monitoring their ongoing process, and then stalking them to make sure they're going to come in after that 12th workout. So
accountability, we call it.
I'm sorry, accountability. I like that.
Right stuff.
He's your director of accountability. So I like that. That's a good one.
It's hard, I think, for Chris too, because he's kind of like the bad guy. You know, he has to make sure that people are getting in and they're really facing their issues that always prevented them from sticking to a program. Right. And it's interesting, because he doesn't always get that immediate credit, because he's, again, the guy that's holding their accountability.
You're paying good money for a program.
Yeah.
Follow the program. And I get it. You're right. Some people it's hard for them in the beginning to get over that hump, but it's like, you're investing in yourself. Take it seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, if it takes Chris to be the bad guy and be that director of accountability, it's like, well, I'm that guy.
But you
you'll
know
love
what?
Me in the end.
Yeah, in the end, that's what I'm saying. In the end, he's the guy that was like, thank you so much for, you know, keeping me motivated, keeping me going, and having those points of self-like inflection where they just really needed to figure out what was going on. You know, what did they need to change? And it's mindset. You know, mindset's difficult.
And this follows over to that balance of business and lifestyle too. Like you mentioned earlier, you're in a mastermind group. You know, I'm in a couple of mastermind groups. So you could take that same concept right out of the gym, right out of the fitness community, and apply it to your professional life and your personal life. Like, the people we surround ourselves with is crucial, because you need to have sometimes somebody to call you out on your own crap. Like, okay, you pull your head out of your butt, dude. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Well, and entrepreneurship is dark. I don't think everyone talks, you know, they always talk about the sexy side of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But there are dark days, you know, and I'm very thankful that Chris and I, have each other, but we also have other people in the industry going through the same things. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you feel like you're just on this boat in the middle of the ocean, like figuring out, you know, you're alone. And that's any industry for any entrepreneur. I mean, you don't have anything to compare yourself to. You know, everyone's fighting to be the best of the best, so you're not working together to be better.
And it goes back to that earlier project and how you and I met regarding Lehigh Valley Fitness Network. And it's like, the whole goal of that was to get businesses to start working together and realizing that you are the power of your network. And you see these people or your fellow gym owners as competitors. You're not. Each of you have a niche. If you're building your business the right way, everybody's business will stand out on its own in a different way. You know, that yoga studio down the street compared to the yoga in the next town over. Every business should have its own niche and its own style. I mean, if nothing else, just the locality. Like, okay, great, you're the local place here, I'm the local place there. But everybody's got different niches and specialties. And in the end, right now, especially in this area, I'll bust on the Lehigh Valley because I live here and you live here. It's like there's so many business owners that could be taking their business to the next level if they would just open up and not see other people as competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And absolutely. Just learn from
you
each other.
You should be looking at yourself, most importantly. You know, how can I be better?
Yeah.
Because if you're comparing yourself to everyone else, maybe they're not even doing that good. You know, like you're trying to recreate things that they're doing or make, you know, like you don't know their numbers. You don't know their P&L sheet. You know, it's you focus on your customers. You focus on your brand. You focus on your people.
It's like, and you know what? You could probably look at that in the neighborhoods surrounding you guys here. I see that, I don't know, what do you want to call it? Like the professional version of keeping up with the Joneses, right? Like you see people, I have friends that, over the years where I was guilty of this myself. I would see people with like, oh, they've got this, oh, they got a new foosball table getting delivered, new pool table. Maybe they just got done finishing off a new entertainment space in the house. Oh man, just picked up a sweet new Maserati. But was that all paid for in cash or was that credit? And the same thing goes in business. You see people upgrading their facilities. Did they overly extend themselves in their financial? Maybe they have a credit line with their bank. I mean, I don't know. We don't know. That's just it. You're right. Like people might be just seeing that. It's like, oh, I got up my game. I'm like, well, do you? Is your financials there? Should you be investing in that right now? I don't know. That person might have just had a secret investor or just a really good credit line, and they're going to be paying for that sooner or later.
Yeah, so. And it's interesting because I love the show The Profit, the
yes.
people, process,
great
and
show.
Product.
Yeah,
that show, yep.
Yeah, Chris and I are watching it a lot right now. that and Shark Tank.
Yeah, but you see these companies and they change their mission. They change their vision because they see someone else in the industry mm-hmm. very successful. Well, that's not what made you who you are.
Right.
You know, like I see people in every industry just trying to copycat another business because they assume they're doing well.
And I guarantee you those people did not have a business plan. And in that business plan, they did not define their brand and what they're supposed to stand for. Mm-hmm. And because they didn't write it down like you guys did, it's very easy to stray away from that. This is the same thing with people's fitness goals. Like, okay, what is your personal goal? Not the guy over there next to you. Like, what do you want? And then are you actually staying true to your goal? Or are you worrying about what you know Joe Smith over there is doing on his equipment? I see this with athletes too. They're like, oh, I want to be like them. I'm like, yeah, but what if you're different? You're not physically made the same way as that person. So we have to train you and develop you differently, just like your business. We have to train and develop your business differently. You need to stand out.
Well,
so.
And Chris could speak to this. The average fitness client, you know, they quit before they even get started. You know, they don't see results immediately, so they think it doesn't work for them. Well, it's never going to work for you because you're not working for it, and you can't just hop from every fitness trend in the world, right, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the same thing, you know, fitness, business. The biggest thing is that when people come into our industry, they want to put their toes in the water. You know, for us, you know, I say, hey, you have to jump in. You know, mm-hmm. you have to change not only your exercise habits, but your lifestyle, the way you're eating. Your relationships in your life, you have to stay positive to get you to where you need to be, you know? So that's the same thing that works just with business. You know, you gotta jump in, you gotta be a part of it and stay focused on the goal and the direction, and you gotta stay in your lane.
The
you
20
like,
mile
just like
march.
On your off-road board
you
at your wedding.
Stay in your lane, man. Yeah.
Well, whether you like it or not, you better stay in your lane or else you would have been jumping into a tennis court, it sounded like. But
oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, I have mentors that refer to it as the 20-mile march. You know, it's little by little, mm-hmm. little by little. You're not going to see drastic change.
Not
you know,
crash diet after crash diet.
No, not at all. And it transfers so beautifully from fitness, nutrition, lifestyle to business. I mean, mm-hmm. we're working for the same things, you know, and we have a goal in mind, but you got to work for it, you know, and it takes time.
I think we just all get, I mean, I think it's just our modern days. Everybody wants everything now.
Convenience.
You know, we got Amazon Prime and all this other stuff. Like, oh, great. I get my stuff for free in 2 days. Like,
yeah, there's
I'm
a drone
Prime
outside
member.
Your window.
Absolutely love it. Like you with your Pinterest. That was me with Amazon Prime. I'm like, oh, man, that could be here like in 2 days. So I'm just going to get that right now. Do not install the app on your iPhone. Just don't recommend it.
Oh, it has like your card stored. Like,
it's phenomenal. It's just amazing.
Whatever you need.
And now Kristen's hooked on it too. We share the account. So
oh boy.
I see what she's ordering. So, but she has her own credit card stored on it. So we're good.
All right.
But yeah, everybody just wants everything now. They're not willing to wait. And whether it be their fitness or their weight loss or just their business success. And I'm guilty of it. We've all been there. Sometimes we just, you're just so motivated and you're so gung ho and you want it now, but it's like, no man, stay the path.
Yeah.
Stay true.
Or relationships.
Yeah.
I mean, relationships are a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone has this expectation of, you know, what a relationship is supposed to be immediately. I mean, Chris and I have been going at it for 8 years and every day there's something new. You know, communication is not easy.
No.
At all. It
but
doesn't
that's
come
crucial.
Easy.
That's
yeah.
the other problem. Most people are suck at communication.
Well, Chris knows how I feel all the time. So
so she's a good communicator. We're going to yeah. leave it at that? Or
absolutely. She maybe. Lets me know.
Okay. And is he a good communicator in return?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I ask him how he's doing, so...
Oh, okay. So as long as you open the door for it, he is open to share.
No, you know what? We tell each other what we need, and I think that's important from each other, from life. You know, I see a lot of people that they get older and they never followed their own dreams.
Mm-hmm.
They always lived for someone else, not themselves. And I think it's okay to be a little selfish because your first love is yourself. You know, you got to love yourself and really figure out what you need out of life and what makes you tick. You know, I don't really believe that whole like doing good for everyone else makes me feel good because before you know it, your health's gone.
Yeah.
You never really lived out your own dreams. You never found your own true happiness. Like, I love making people feel good. And I mean, I fall victim to it. Sometimes I fall into ruts and I'm like, man, what's going on? And it's like, I haven't, you know, done enough for myself today or
yeah.
the last week or last month.
I'm completely on the same page with you. I used to feel guilty. I'd be taking on like different charity projects here and there. And I still do tons of random different charity stuff throughout the year, every year. But sometimes you got to say no. You only
yep.
have so much time. And it's like, you know, I'm sorry. I just did this and this. I just can't do it right now. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy to get you connected with somebody else. Don't be afraid to say no. Like you said, be a little selfish because in the end, if you're sacrificing yourself, your health, your business, whatever it may be along the way, you're not going to be able to help other people down the road. You just literally built your own roadblock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think Chris and I don't take tabs. You know, it's not like, oh, well, I did this, so you need to do that.
No.
You know, like I hate that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, I love friends where you can go out and someone can buy something, you know, whether it's a lunch or a beer. And, you know, it's not like the next time you see him, you're like, dude, you owe me for that lunch I paid. You
right.
know, like it's just whatever. It's comfortable. You're enjoying each other. And that's how you can function.
If it makes you feel good, you want to buy lunch for people, then do it. I mean,
yeah.
just yeah, don't be that person that says, well, you owe me now. Come on, man, really?
Hey, could I get that dollar?
Yeah, like if you believe in the universe, it'll come back your way. Don't worry about
yeah.
it. So I think a lot of people take that stuff too seriously too. So, well, I mean, heck, this has been awesome. I guess you just left us with a really, really powerful message, but I'm trying to like a new theme with the show here since it's a brand new show, and I'm trying to let us end on a positive note and let us end on just something that's a good message. And I'm not doing the cheesy quote thing because everybody's doing quotes nowadays, but I mean, Chris, I'll go to you, man. I mean, is there anything like, as far as a final message that you think is important to sum up everything we talked about today or just what you're working on right now or something you think is an important message to put out there to the universe?
I mean, just like we were saying, you know, just as far as business goes, as far as, you know, healthy lifestyle goes, you know, when it comes down to it, it's just taking care of yourself. You know, if you're exercising, you're eating well, good things happen, you know, and it keeps you motivated and good things happen in the rest of your life. So taking care of yourself is always go back to the basics. And that's where it starts. It starts with you, you know, so that's something that we take very serious.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And back to you, Whitney.
That was really good. I mean, ditto.
Oh, okay. We can do that. You guys
no.
aren't married.
And add to that, have fun with it. You know, don't take yourself too seriously. Don't take life too seriously. I mean, it is what you make it.
Yes.
And yeah, your health is everything. If you have your health, you have it all. But have fun.
Yeah, so I'm going to add to that. I agree with her. It's all about fun, guys. And remember, it's a lifestyle. Make it a part of your lifestyle. Don't make it like a crash diet. I mean, commit to it, stay with it, believe in yourself, and just keep it fun along the way. So that was our episode with Chris and Whitney from Live It Up Health and Fitness. Thanks for tuning in, guys. And remember, keep living the fired up, epic life. And we'll talk to you guys again soon. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Live the Fuel. Visit us at livethefuel.com. Stay connected on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and more at Live the Fuel. Live the fired up, epic life. Hashtag Live the Fuel.